We rise. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in Jesus Christ, who is both the rock of our salvation and the source of living water. Amen. We turn to our text for our sermon today from Exodus 17. We find the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, seeking water. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We pray, Lord, give us to drink of that water from which we will never thirst. Amen. Does anyone know what a coup d'etat is? A coup d'etat is a French phrase meaning a blow to the state. It's a sudden overthrow of the existing power. It usually begins with a small group of people intent on overthrowing the current government. They no longer trust the leadership, and they've taken it into their own hands to overthrow the powers that be. It's a calculated response to what's considered incompetent leadership. The place was known as Massah and Meribah, two Hebrew words, Massah meaning testing and Meribah meaning contention. There's a coup d'etat that so easily draws us in to take part in this overthrow of leadership, enticing you to join in. And three figures are standing in the shadows: the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. There's a place we find in our lives also, a Massah and Meribah, in which the defiant question is asked, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Verse 7, he called that place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" There's a problem that immediately confronts us. And that problem is that we rely on the Lord for everything. That's right. It's a problem. It's a problem that we rely on the Lord for everything, because as soon as we don't get everything, we stop relying on the Lord. The problem is revealed in a simple question: is the Lord among us or not? Prove it. The people of Israel are asking God to demonstrate and prove that he's among them. Normally, we would think there's really no problem with this, because the Lord wants us to seek him out, to search him and find him, to have him demonstrate that he's with us. So what is the problem? You see, the question is not really about whether the Lord is among them or not. It's about meeting their demands, meeting their expectations. They relied on him for everything, and as soon as something was lacking, they were ready to stop relying. We have to do something. If we let this man, Moses, lead us about in the desert any longer, we are bound to die. He doesn't even know where he's going. He doesn't have a plan or a timetable for how this is all going to work out. And we have no water. Our livestock will be dead within days. The Lord has left us here to die, and it's up to us to do something about it. Verse 3 actually uses the Hebrew word for grumble. They grumbled. They no longer trusted the leadership. It's a coup d'etat being incited. And who's lurking in the shadows? The devil, the world, and their sinful flesh. And so we read Psalm 95, but what we didn't read was the closing verses of that psalm. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the days of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I know the Lord will provide. We admit it. We rely on him for everything. And yet when it comes to putting the Apostles' Creed into action, that God is our Father, the maker of heaven and earth, do we really know that? It's so easy to worry, to become unaware of the grumbling going on in our own lives, to think the leadership that the Lord has given us just can't be relied on. We wonder what the Lord is doing. We see it in the government. We see it in the church. And we see it in our homes. We look at the government and wonder if the Lord is really with us or not. We see schools where evolution is taught as fact and those who believe in a six-day creation are ridiculed as unscientific. We see abortion laws being passed that claim a woman's right but leave a mother and a child abandoned. Will we grumble? Will we criticize and make jokes about our president and those in leadership, no longer trusting that office that the Lord has given? We look at the church and wonder if the Lord's among us or not. We see leaders confused about the mission. Is it about church growth or is it about preaching the gospel? We see gay and lesbian preachers put into pulpits proclaiming liberation from discrimination and yet leaving the Lord's words overthrown as not clear or outdated. Will we grumble? We look at our families, our homes, and wonder if the Lord is among us. We see a mother without a husband. We see a wife with a husband, but who's not really there. We see a husband trying so hard and yet stripped of his leadership because the wife demands something that he could never meet. Bills are piling up. Projects are complicating our lives with responsibility and relationships are suffering. Will we grumble? We're so used to relying on the Lord for everything that when we're not getting what we expected, we're tempted to stop relying, to become thirsty and wonder if the Lord's among us. The people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Those three are lurking in the shadows, the devil, the world, and our flesh. They're showing you how stress and turmoil and failures should lead you to abandon the fourth commandment and take things into your own hand. The leadership that God has provided is not good enough, and we find ourselves in our own Massa and Meribah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul uses this as an example. He points out how the children of Israel drank from that same spiritual drink that we drink. They followed that same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. And yet, God was not well pleased with them because they continually went astray, doubting the good purpose he had, and they complained. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. It's a deceitfulness when God is right in our midst doing wonderful things and we miss it because we're caught up with pride or false expectations or grumbling. But there's a spiritual rock which follows us too, and that rock is Christ. It's Christ who overthrows the coup d'etat and brings a solution into our lives. What Israel had forgotten is that God had proven himself. He had proven himself time and time again. He led them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. He miraculously parted the Red Sea and brought them through safely while he crushed the Egyptians underfoot. He brought them manna from heaven, which fed them day by day. And now he says in verse 5, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the rod with which you have struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and the water will come out of it that the people may drink. You see, God strikes the rock and not the people. He could rightly strike down every one of us for unbelief or grumbling or sin, and yet he doesn't. He strikes the rock, and water comes flowing forth. Water flows forth. Life flows forth. Salvation flows forth. Despite their grumbling, God strikes the rock and not the people, and they drink. Would they see it? Would they taste it? Would they see that this was more than just an earthly or temporal provision? God was promising something, reminding, proving that he was leading them, that he was with them in tribulation. And he was always leading them towards something better, something more lasting, toward the rock of their salvation, and that rock is Christ. The last place you'd expect to find water is a rock. In the desert. Who would suppose that this lowly death, the one scorned and ridiculed by men, acquainted with sorrow and grief, stricken by God, would be the answer to everything? For grumbling sinners, for Israel, for us, who would suppose that God would strike his own son? As Paul writes, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Grace is flowing forth. And it's flowing forth, perhaps, in the place you'd least expect it. Here, in our midst, the Lord is answering complaints. In the government, in our churches, in our homes, he's at work in the unexpected places. In the midst of grumbling or failed leadership, God gives water. From the fountain of Christ flows forgiveness, peace, salvation, hope for the future. He still provides daily bread each day on our table. As Luther explains in the Catechism, God gives daily bread without our asking, even to unbelievers. But we pray in this petition that he would teach us to realize this and to give thanks. It is with grace that God leads us through difficult times, times of thirsting, and he's always doing it for our good. His leadership will not disappoint. And he gives it to us to receive this and bring it forth in the world. As citizens of two kingdoms, this grace is yours to take with you into the world with your vote, with volunteer work, in the workplace, into your church as faithful leaders and followers of his word, into your homes As children respect their parents, as a wife respects and loves her husband, as a husband leads by sacrifice, following Christ in giving up his needs for the needs of his family. Take it into your troubles, where Christ would be stricken instead of you, where he is with you in sorrow, that you might learn to fear and trust in God above all things. And so Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, what we just read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us." Grace is the answer. It flows forth from Christ, who is the rock, and it will not disappoint. He has surely proven it. The problem is that we rely on God for everything. And the solution is that we rely on God for everything. Do you know what commonly happens when a coup d'etat fails? Civil war. When a coup d'etat fails, it's often a time in which civil war is the only other option. Just endlessly battling among ourselves. And who's behind it all? The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. That's what we're witnessing. The devil has failed, the world cannot control the future, and our own flesh is dead as far as God is concerned. And all that's left is a petty civil war, a war that we're caught up in the midst of, but it also means for us victory. It means it's a failing rebellion, a Massa and Meribah that cannot take away what God has given us. Because God leads us. He leads us to water. He leads us to victory. He leads us to rest. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill. They cannot overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. God has answered, in Christ our rock, so let us drink. Amen.